Well, tonight for a message, you can turn to the book of James, James chapter 1. Let's read a couple of verses here. Take some thoughts from this passage for our inspiration and for our correction, for our growth as Christians. James chapter 1. And we're just going to jump into the middle of the chapter here, and we're going to have to, it breaks it apart just a little bit, but I think we'll be okay doing that for time's sake. We'll start in at verse 19 of James chapter 1. I'll just read a couple of verses here. James is speaking here. He's writing. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." The title for the message tonight is "Be Ye Doers of the Word." I have the message broken up into two parts. I would like to just briefly just take the verses in context here and try to open them up for us, to explain them to us, what James, I believe, is trying to teach us in these verses. And then the second part of the message, I just want to give you some reasons for why you and I are not doers of the word. There's things that you and I do in our minds, gymnastics that we do, that we sort of excuse ourselves from doing some things that we know we ought to do. Sometimes we put things into categories and we say, "Well, that doesn't apply to me. I'm sort of exempted from that. That doesn't really fit me in my situation." And we feel justified in not obeying the word. Well, James says, a person that thinks like that, you're deceiving your own selves. It says it in verse 22. Who of us tonight would want to be deceived? Is there anyone here that would want to be deceived tonight? To be deceived is to be wrong. You think you're right, but you're not. That's a pretty bad place to be deceived. I don't want to be that. But how quickly we can get into a place where we begin to deceive ourselves. And if we think something long enough, we begin to think it's true and it's right, but we're wrong. It's serious. This is really serious. And so tonight, as Christians, you and I are in this battle. This is something that you and I need to continue to fight against and to work at. Because if we're going to have these temptations that will come to us, that will tempt us to just be a hearer, but not a doer. And you and I will have to continually fight against that. And if we're genuine tonight, we're going to be faithful and putting that where it belongs. We're going to do more than just hear. We're going to obey. We're going to be doing what the word says. And so tonight, James has a warning for us, a warning for Christian people, a warning for Lakeview tonight. It's a warning for Jonathan Nault tonight and for you. Please tonight be warned about this tendency that we're all very apt to do, is to hear but not do. Well, verse 19, James says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Slow to wrath. Be slow to wrath. James is saying, watch that temper of yours. Watch that anger of yours. Why? Why is James concerned about that, about the anger, about your anger? Because in verse 20, he says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." And so tonight, James is saying, watch out if you're angry. Watch out if you have a temper. Why? Because it produces unrighteousness. It produces something in your life that God is not pleased with. And in verse 21, he says, "Wherefore, lay apart," or lay aside. And you would think he would say, lay aside anger, but that's not really what he says. He says, "Lay aside filthiness," all filthiness, "and superfluity of naughtiness." Superfluity of naughtiness. What is that? Like, do we ever talk like that? Do you talk like that? I don't talk like that. What does that mean? Well, it means rampant wickedness. Do you know what that means? Very bad. Very bad. All filthiness and everything that's, it's very bad, rampantly bad. James tonight is giving synonyms to what anger is and to what wrath is. You come to verse 21 and you expect him to say, you know, because anger, the wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God, lay it aside. But he doesn't say that. He says all filthiness and all rampant wickedness. And I don't know, I guess, I'm sure there's nobody in here tonight that would readily admit, well, there's rampant wickedness in my life. Like, I wouldn't expect anyone to say that here. And yet, James is saying, if you have a temper, if you have anger, and you think it's not a real big deal, it doesn't produce the righteousness of God. Tonight, that which is in your life that does not produce the righteousness of God is filthy and is rampantly wicked in the sight of God. You and I just really like to, we just like to tone things down just a little bit. Like we like to dress it up a little bit. Well, I was just a little upset at my wife. Or I was just bent out of shape. Or I was just agitated. Just disgusted. James is like, call it what it is. Call it what it is. What is it? Well, it's filthiness. And it's wicked. It doesn't produce the righteousness of God. James is trying to bring our supposedly small sins into perspective. From God's perspective. What they look like to God as he looks down upon you and I tonight. John Wesley, he wrote this in a song. He said, "Purge me from every evil blot. My idols all be cast aside. Cleanse me from every sinful thought, from all filth of self and pride." Self and pride. If you were to break anger down tonight and like break it apart, what it is, it's full of that. It's full of self and pride. It's full of self-importance. It's full of intolerance. It's full of stubbornness. Is that a big deal? Does it matter? It prevents us. It keeps us from doing the righteousness of God, which then prevents us from being able to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which makes us then unable to hear to do. There's a connection here in these verses that flows through here. There's things that you and I could have in my life, in your life tonight, which prevents me from receiving the word of God, which would prevent me from hearing properly to living it out. It keeps God's word from having free course in my life, in my heart, in my mind. Tonight, do I think of my anger? Do you think of your anger as wicked? Or filthy? I mean, think about something that you would consider filthy. Something that you would consider filthy. Now think about something on the internet that you can get into, filth and garbage, and you can sit there and look at that and read that and be absorbed in that, and then what, you just sort of like glide over and pick up the Word of God, and you get into the Word of God and you're reading it, and it's just like, oh, you're so blessed and refreshed, and the Father's speaking to you, and you feel revived. That's not how it is. That's not how it works. And that's the truth that James is trying to teach me tonight. That's what he's trying to teach you tonight, that there could be impurity, there could be wickedness in my life that's keeping me from being able to receive the word of God with meekness. The engrafted word. That means to be part of you. That's part of your nature. It's like implanted in you. It's who you are. There are things tonight, and anger is one of those things in our life that can prevent the word of God, to be able to receive the word of God. There's a block, a blockade in my life. Meekness. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. It's the opposite of pride. It's the opposite of self. It's the opposite of anger. We're to come to this word surrendered. We're to come with an open mind, with an open heart. Lord, Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to me. Verse 21, James says, this engrafted word is what it's able to save your souls. Tonight, brothers and sisters, we need to be taking steps to hear and to do the things that God would want us to do, that God's word tells us to do. In fact, we ought to become preoccupied with this word. Why is it so important? Well, James said it's able, through the hands of God, it's able to save your souls. The word of God is of all importance to us tonight. Do you want to save your soul tonight? All of us want to save our soul tonight, don't we? Then you and I must be in our word. In God's word, not my word, in God's word. We must be in God's word. That's why it's important for us every day to spend time in the word. Out of sincerity, so the Lord can speak to us, so we can know better how to live, so he can better meet our need. Being a doer of the word tonight produces the righteousness of God. But the truth is, too often we tend to sit and we let it go in one ear and out the other ear. And we never take time to really think upon it, to meditate upon it, and to like absorb it, like to eat it, like to get it within us. It takes discipline and it takes work, and we end up never doing what at one time maybe we felt sort of convicted in our hearts and our consciences maybe spoke to us, but we ended up never doing it. Well, James tonight, he's probably borrowing from the words of Jesus, because Jesus spoke this way, didn't he? He said, if you want to be like a wise man that built his house upon the rock, he dug down to the rock, what would you do? Jesus said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. He's like a wise man that diggeth down to the rock and built his house on that rock. And that house is going to fall down when the wind comes? No, it's going to stand strong and true. It's built on the word of God. He's a doer of the word. Or shall you and I be likened to the foolish man tonight who didn't build his house on the rock, on the word of God, who didn't live out the word in his life? He built his house on the sand, on his human thinking and reason and intellect. And tough times come into his life. And things fly apart. In Romans chapter 2, Paul also speaks like this. He says to us, Romans 2:13, he says, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Paul also spoke this way. Not just a hearer. Those people aren't justified before God, but it's those who do. Those are the ones who are justified. Tonight, James is not minimizing hearing. Hearing is just as important as the doing. If you don't hear tonight, you won't know what to do. But if you hear, then you have a greater accountability to do. And so tonight, because you and I have heard so much all of our lives, we are so accountable before God if we do not do. This is serious. The more you hear, the more you and I are accountable. Well, James says, if we hear and we don't do, we're like the man that looks in that mirror, looks at his face in the mirror. He looks at himself and he walks away and he forgets right away what he looked like. The man in the mirror, he looks and he forgets. How many of you today did not look in a mirror? Did anybody here not look in a mirror today? You can all look around like we all looked in a mirror. Why did you look in a mirror today? Why did I look in a mirror today? Who wants to see if something's out of place? See if something's wrong? Do I have food in my teeth? Wild hair growing out of the ear? There's all kinds of things that get out of place and are not where they're supposed to be. That's why we look in a mirror, to make ourselves presentable. Sometimes if we don't have a mirror, somebody else will come up and tell us, like, hey, realize you got this on your face or this sticking off somewhere or whatever, because you can't see it. Sometimes other people are able to be our mirrors. And so tonight we look in a mirror to fix things that aren't right. Physically speaking. But why are you here tonight? When you sit and you hear the word of God tonight coming to you, it's the same. It's as the same as looking into a mirror today and seeing your face in the glass. The word tonight is to come to us, to show us where things are out of place, to show us where there's defects, where things need to be shaved off a little bit, or whatever it is, cleaned up, put back in place, combed over, whatever. How do you look tonight in the mirror of God's word. How is it as you look at your life and think about your life? As it lines up side by side to the word, how is it? Well, we want to be doers of the word of God tonight. We don't want to have things out of place, wrong in my life, spiritually speaking. That is a much more tragic loss than some physical thing that's not quite right. Well, verse 22, he says, if you don't do, if you hear only, you deceive your own selves. You can deceive you tonight. You're able to deceive yourself. You can do that. Self-deception. Well, how many of us tonight will look into the mirror, physically speaking, and you would see something that's not quite right, and you'd be like, forget it. Just let it the way it is. I doubt any of us would be like that. We all fix things pretty quickly if we know something's not quite right on us. But like, spiritually speaking, like really, how often have I done that in my own life where I was like, the word of God says this, and I know it's not quite where I am tonight, but we push it off. This is more serious than just looking in yourself in a mirror. Too often I think, you know what, I'm doing okay spiritually. I'm not the worst person in the world. But tonight, if I'm a doer of the word, if you are a doer of the word, you hear the word and you go out and changes begin to happen in your life because you have heard the word of God has come to you and you have seen where you haven't lined up with it, and you're going to try to live up to that word tonight because that's your calling as a Christian. You have the Spirit of God within you to rise up and to live as God would call us to live. Will we ever do it perfectly? No. Stan talked about our humanness and our frailty. God sees that, but yet too often we excuse ourselves and lay it onto that. Well, tonight, spiritual growth takes time. It often doesn't happen quickly, overnight. Sometimes it can. There can be a big transformation, a big change. What I found in my life is just slow, gradual changes. Day after day, year after year, just being faithful in the temptations that I struggle in, rising above them. And soon, you can soon look back in your life as you're able to live faithfully as you can. And you can see that, yes, there has been changes in my life. There has been growth in my life that has happened. But growth sometimes, spiritually speaking, is almost imperceptible. You don't see it. Like I don't see any of my children grow. Some of them I think grow pretty fast, but I can never actually see it happening. And sometimes we need to take comfort in that, because tonight I think, well, if only I could grow a little faster. But it takes time. God works at us slowly. Continues to mold us, shape us, and make us as he would want us to be. Jesus tonight, he wants to make you beautiful. He wants to make me beautiful. There's beauty and holiness tonight. There really is. Tonight, the word of God, it's not bondage to us. No, James says in verse 25, it's the perfect law of liberty. That's what this word is for us tonight. There's freedom to be found in this word tonight. Jesus says, come to me. My yoke is easy. My burden, it's light. But too often I don't see it like that. Too often I'm not spiritual enough to grasp that what I want isn't the best for me. Well, tonight, Why do you and I hear, but then we don't do? And I have a number of them listed down here tonight. It's not an exhaustive list, but it's just something to stir us up and to make us think. These are not valid excuses or reasons for not doing, but these are some of the things we play in our minds, and we can fool ourselves into thinking that it's okay for us, but it's not. So the first reason that I have of why we hear and don't do is because we're a casual listener. A casual listener, they hear the word of God, but it's sort of like music in the background. You ever play music in the background where it's there? You sort of know it's there, but your mind is completely involved in something else. That's a casual listener tonight. And that's possible to be able to come to church for quite a long time and just be a casual listener. Like you hear it, but really your mind is somewhere who knows where, thinking who knows what. Have you ever done that? I have done that. I have been in church and I thought all kinds of things other than what was trying to be said. Did I hear it? Yeah, but I was not really paying attention to it. That's one way. Tonight, being preoccupied. Maybe we're a little drowsy, a little tired. But tonight, I'll emphasize again that the more that you and I hear, the more you and I are accountable. Because we have heard. We have heard. The word of God has come to us over and over again. Number two, we listen on behalf of someone else. I mean, that's not really foreign, is it? Have you ever done that? I have. You sit there thinking, well, I'm sure glad the preacher's saying that. That brother really needed to hear that. That was perfect for him. Or maybe wives, you're sitting there and you're like, oh, my husband needed that so bad. You sort of like glance over him at the corner of your eye. Like, is he listening to that? Like, how's he taking that? Like, he really needed that tonight. That's wonderful. Or I was just up in Ontario the other month preaching. The bishop came to me afterwards and he said, I just wished a young man was here. We're trying to help him. He said he needed that message. I said, he's like, I just couldn't help but think of him, all the message. And I looked at him sort of strangely, and all of a sudden became sheepish. Yeah, so the message was for me. But this is what we do. We listen for someone else. It's really easy for us to think about others and their faults and their problems, and it's like, wow, that hit that right on for them. Whew, perfect. Well, that's not how we're to be hearing and doing tonight. Not listening for somebody else. Listen for yourself. Block that out if it comes. Put that aside. Let the Lord speak to your heart. Another way that we can hear but not do, we sort of make categories in our minds. And by this, I mean, so like in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he's talking about rich people and the dangers of money and of wealth. And I can say, well, I'm not rich tonight. And so just sort of like, that doesn't really apply to me. Just sort of write that off. And we can do that pretty often in a lot of different ways. Like, well, that doesn't really fit me tonight. Just lay that one aside. We lay that one aside. Well, it's pretty easy for us to do that. We dismiss things so quickly. How is it that you and I can so lightly treat spiritual things, so trivial? This word is for you tonight, personally. It's for me, personally, tonight. Or we can use this excuse that I'm waiting for God to do something. And perhaps as a young man or children, you know, you're called to obey your parents. And you say, well, my dad, he's not worthy of my obedience. He's not worthy of me obeying him in these couple little things. I'm waiting for my dad. I'm waiting for, for, for God to do something in my dad to make him more worthy of my obedience. But that's not how Scripture talks tonight to us. Scripture tells us to obey our parents. And so we have a command tonight to obey our parents, regardless of how they are, of who they are. Perhaps they have needs. Well, we all have needs. That doesn't excuse us from not obeying, for not doing the Word of God. We're waiting. We're waiting for God to do something for someone else. And this can work in marriages, husbands and wives. We can play the same games in our minds. Well, if my husband or if my wife was worthy of whatever, well, then I could give it to her or to him. But that's not how Scripture talks to us. We're called husbands to love our wives. How? Well, it's such a big, tall order, we'll never get it. But as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And wives were called to submit to our husbands and to reverence and to obey him. And sometimes God's waiting for us to do something so he can do something, right? Any kind of waiting tonight is disobedience. Those priests, when they crossed the Jordan River to the Canaan land, flood stage river, they got to the Jordan River with the ark, and the river didn't stop until what they actually stepped into the water, and then it stopped. That's how God works tonight. Dear ones, he wants to see us doing what he's called us to do. He said, step into the river. And then the water parted. Maybe God's not working in my life tonight because I'm not doing what I know I should do. That's been true for me. A lot of other things can fall into place as we endeavor to do what we know to do. Or sometimes we use this excuse about not doing something. It's like, I'll pray about that. Or I'm praying about that. That sounds pretty spiritual. Someone's speaking into my life. Something's maybe not quite as it should be. And we can dismiss it really quickly, just sort of like ease the conversation. I'll pray about that. And I'm not minimizing prayer tonight at all. We should pray. But too often we can cloak that as an excuse to not to obey. And we can just sort of dismiss the whole thing, and it sounds pretty good. Sound pretty spiritual that we're going to pray about it. Well, if there's something in my life that's not right that needs to be corrected, that's been shown to me, we have a responsibility to change it, to make it different. God doesn't ask us to pray about things that he's already told us to change. Put it away. Put it away and change your life. Another reason that we do not do is because we are offended. I don't know if you ever felt like this or not, but I have. And I was like, well, he's talking right to me. Like, who told him about this? How did he know this? He's talking about my family. Like, how would he ever dare to say this? And the whole time I'm sitting there insulted and offended and just sort of like, how could this be? But sometimes you just need to stop and ask yourself sometimes, well, is it true? Is it true? It's easy to be like that. We can become so busy being insulted and offended that we can't really think anything else but that. But sometimes we just need to stop and we need to think, like, is it true? Does this apply to me in my situation? Like, that brother has no idea that you are where you are. Another reason that we do not do what we're called to do sometimes is because we say, well, God is so loving. And thank God that he is loving and merciful. He's gracious and he is slow to anger. Oh. Yes, our Father is so kind and loving tonight. He is. But tonight, there's teaching that teaches people that there's grace to sin. And that's not true tonight. God's grace doesn't enable you to sin. God's grace will always enable you to stop sinning. And if you're continuing to sin and you call that the grace of God, that is not the grace of God working in your life. That's something else. Grace will always enable you to stop sinning. But we say this, well, he's so caring, he's my shepherd. He understands, and he does. He sees my need. He understands my hard times right now. And sometimes we just seem like we want to live as close to disobedience, as close to the edge as we dare can. But that's sort of suicidal to do that. Don't deceive yourself tonight. God is a God of love. God does extend such great mercy to you and I that we're unworthy of. But don't deceive yourself tonight. If there's something that is known in your life that's not right, that God has spoken to you in his word, don't deceive yourself tonight. God will also bring judgment. That's the very nature of God. Or we can use this excuse sometimes. We live on past obedience. And perhaps there was a time in my life where I was faithful and the word of God was rich to me. And yes, I was on fire for the Lord and I was in communion with him and how sweet it was. But then something just like creeps into your life. Does that ever happen to you? It's happened to me. But tonight we can't live in the former days. We're called to live presently, now, tonight, right now. It doesn't matter what you were 5 years ago or 10 years ago. It doesn't matter really necessarily who your parents were or the upbringing that you had. It doesn't really matter if your dad was in the Word every day or if he was a preacher. It doesn't count for you. It doesn't matter tonight if you have at one time lived faithfully, but you have allowed things into your life that has marred your faithfulness to your Heavenly Father. This is real for all of us, for our families and for our churches. We can't live in the past glory days of all the life and the revival movements that happened. Today, we're called to live as God would want us to live. We can't live on the skirts of former days. Those are bygone days. Yes, have they helped us? Yes, they have. But we're called today, presently, to persevere and to endure. How long? All the way to the end. Don't live on past obedience. We're called to present righteousness. Or right on the heels of that, we want to live on future obedience. And that's like procrastination and good intentions. Yes, I know I've got something in my life that needs to be taken care of. But the proverb writer tells us, like, don't boast of tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring forth. You don't have any promise of tomorrow, dear ones. I don't either. Don't bank your soul on tomorrow. It's not worth it. Luke chapter 12, verse 35, Jesus tells us, let your loins be girded about you and your lights burning. That's like right now, presently. Do you have your loins girded tonight? Are your lights burning? Or is there something that's shadowing that flame? Something that has caused you to take part of that armor off? And you say, tomorrow, I'll take care of that. Well, another reason that we can excuse ourselves from not obeying the word, for not doing the word, is we say, well, that's the preacher that's saying that, not Jesus. And we can play this trick in our heads. Well, I'm just not obeying the preacher. That's really not that bad, is it? Well, I mean, obviously the preacher could have given his opinion. He could have maybe said something that's not right. That could happen. That's why I'm hoping you're all listening with ears to hear tonight. So if I say something that's not accurate, you can correct me so I can see it more accurately, more better. Because we're faulty. Sometimes how we think. But we can excuse ourselves tonight pretty quickly. We can easily justify ourselves and our disobedience to the word because we just don't really like the preacher. We don't really like the way he said that. We don't really like his intensity, how he said that. And we just sort of just write the whole thing off. Well, tonight, be like a Berean. Go and search it out tonight. If it's true. If it's true, then change your life. Nothing more honorable than that. Well, another reason that we give tonight for not obeying, not doing the word of God is partial obedience. And I thought about that church in Revelation chapter 2, I think it is. The church of Ephesus, Jesus said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil and how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not and has found them liars and has borne and has patience and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick from out of its place, from out of his place, except thou repent. Here's a church tonight. They toiled, they labored, they had patience, they could easily pick out the false preachers and teachers. They had a lot of things going well for them. They couldn't bear those who were evil for the name of Jesus. They labored. They didn't faint. They had so much going for them. But Jesus said, look, I got something against you. You've lost your first love. If you don't repent, I'm going to take you out. The candlestick will be removed. And so tonight, partial obedience is not going to be sufficient for us. It's not enough. Too often tonight I think, well, overall I'm pretty good. Surely Jesus will overlook one area in my life. But he didn't do that for this church, did he? He didn't overlook one area in their life. He looked at that thing. He said, I see all the good things you're doing. But repent. Repent. Well, tonight, another way we can not do the word of God is because of past failures in our lives. You might feel overwhelmed. Like, what's the use? And the devil whispers in your ear you really are a mess. You'll never get out of this thing. I've thought that. I thought it'd be better for me to die without anybody knowing about what I was involved in. But that's deception tonight. There's nothing honorable about that tonight. Don't do that. Don't play that game in your mind. There is a way out. There is a way to find freedom. There is a way for victory to be had, despite and in spite of terrible failures that may have happened in your life. I can testify to that tonight, that there is help to be had in time of need, as our brother read. Our Savior tonight, he offers forgiveness and mercy and promises of God. Which way are you going to choose to go tonight? The path of obedience to the word or of disobedience? Well, tonight, if your conscience is silent often for long periods of time, be suspicious of that. It's okay for your conscience to prick you and to speak to you. We're not perfect yet. And if it's quiet too long, that might be a warning sign that something's not right in my life. It's okay to have the Lord speak to us where I'm not measuring up. Lord, how can I run faster? Lord, how can I live more like you would want me to be? Justify people tonight. They have. They have the power of God pulsating in their life, and they will live a certain way. They will. Our time here is short. Tonight, we don't know how long we have. As A.W. Tozer said, he says, this life here, it's not a playground, but it's a battlefield. Are you fighting tonight? Are you faithfully fighting tonight? Don't grow weary. Keep on going. I'd like tonight just to open it up. If there's needs here tonight that you have and you really would like some help with that, there's help to be had. We're not here to scorn or to look down on, but we're here to rally around and to encourage and help each other. I need a lot of that, and I still need that in my own life. But sometimes we just really need to just cut the noise, the commotion, the distractions, and we just need to actually stop, and we need to think about our lives, the path we're on. Do you have the wisdom tonight to see the end of your path, where it's going to take you, where it's going to lead you if you continue on?